Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you that we could gather and worship here. And it's such a joy to sing praises to you, to hear the saints praying. And Father, knowing that they are a sweet savor unto you, knowing that you will work in every case to for our good and for your glory, Father. And we thank you. We praise your name. We see the fullness of your love to us in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you. I ask for the filling of your Spirit that I might minister the word to your church tonight, Father. Bless the lessons been given to the deaf ladies tonight. Help them to apply that to their hearts and lives. And Father, be with them, Lord, as well. Be with those who could not be here with us tonight. Might they know we've thought about them, prayed for them, Father. Might they have a time of solace with thee and perhaps to pray for the meeting here tonight. And, God, thank you. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your word, your Spirit, your Son, this fellowship, Father, the brethren. Father, we just thank you, praise your name, might you edify your church tonight, might Jesus be glorified, and Lord, might you be pleased, might you help us, Father, that we'd worship you in spirit and in truth, and Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory, amen. Amen, you may be seated. Going through the book of Colossians, we've seen the Apostle Paul teaching them of, is that the right one? I don't think that's the right one. 2:8, I think that's the next one, Brother Dennis. Is that 6? You know what, I really don't need it. I'm just going to cover one point, so. Yeah, I don't recognize that as... Yeah, it might be 6 or something. Yeah, 5 is what I need, but that's okay. There we go. All right. That be the one. Very good. Okay. That's where we'll be. We've seen the objects of Paul's concern, those that he hadn't met, the objectives of Paul's concern. He didn't want these Colossians and these in the area to be divided in their church by the false teachings that were going on around them. He wanted them to have an answer to expose those false teachers. He showed them that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. Someone comes along and says, we have this extra knowledge outside the scriptures and outside what the apostles have told us, and it'll make you more spiritual. We don't need to hear that. We have everything we need in this book, don't we, to be all that God wants us to be for him. So he's wanting them to grasp that truth. And he commends them. They're remaining apparently strong against the Gnostics. They're standing together. He talked about he beheld their order, and they've not given in to that teaching apparently. He talked about them guarding the truth as well. I think that was the second point, to guard the truth. And we saw how the truth protected them. He said, these things I say, lest any man beguile you through enticing words. He didn't want them to be deceived. Saw that the truth works. He talked about their order and beholding their order, the steadfastness of their faith. And the truth works, doesn't it? God's word works in our hearts and changes us. And tonight we're going to look at the fact that he wants them to grow in the truth as believers. And of course, this is going to involve walking in Christ, walking in him. He puts it there. In verse 6, walking in him. It's important to remember that when the Colossians got saved, and all of us, when you get saved, you invite the person of the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. You don't just give assent to a doctrine when you get saved. You're actually inviting the Lord and Savior, his Spirit, into your heart. And so he is with us. When you send someone a letter, or you talk to someone on the phone, or you communicate to people, you can send letters anymore. people communicate on social media. These people can be out of sight, out of mind. As soon as the letter is mailed, as soon as the phone call is finished, as soon as the send button's hit, and send button's clicked, they can be out of sight, out of mind. When you invite someone to live with you and in your house, you will be interacting with them every day in one way or another. This is something to think about. Christ is in your life now. You have invited him. He's here every day. And we interact with him in one way or another. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you didn't just hit like on his Facebook page, okay? Much more than that. Call upon Jesus to forgive you of your sins and save you. Holy Spirit, who's one with Christ and one with the Father, comes to live in our hearts. And by the way, to live there forever. Amen. In John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word another means another of the same kind. Another comforter, actually, obviously, God the Holy Spirit. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's how long he's going to abide with us. How many are glad about that? Amen. He's going to abide with us forever. John realized this as he wrote in 1 John 2:27. He says, but the anointing, of course, in the Bible, the anointing is a picture. Anointing with oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, as they would anoint prophets, priests, and kings and such. And he says, but the anointing, talking about God's giving you his Spirit when you got saved. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. The Holy Spirit abides in us. And you need not that any man teach you. Isn't it wonderful to have the teacher living in your heart? The teacher of the Word of God. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So that anointing abides in us, and we are to abide in him. That's what he's saying. Walk in him. And about listening to the Holy Spirit. By the way, this Spirit in us is the very assurance of our salvation. In 1 John 5:11, this is the record. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So because the Spirit's in you, you have eternal life. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. That's the key. If God's looking for something who's going to get taken up, it's not the kind of life you lived.
None of that. Is this God's Spirit in you or not? If he's in you, you're going. If he's not, you're not. You're not one of his. But thank God he comes in and abides forever in all those who believe. He's the very assurance of our salvation. We saw that back in the earlier chapter in this letter here, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Now, what's hope in the Bible? It's a sure thing, right? It's a guarantee. Christ in you is the guarantee of glory. You're going to get a new body if you're born again. It's coming. And we're going to be with him forever. And so we are to walk in him. This word walk is one of the Bible's most often used metaphors for the Christian life. That it is a walk through this life. Many ways we see this in the Bible used. We are to walk before him. We are to walk in his ways. We are to walk in all his ways. We are to ever walk in his ways. We are to walk in the fear of God. We are to walk in the light. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in the truth. We are to walk in him right here in this verse. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk in wisdom. We are to walk humbly. We are not to walk as other Gentiles walk. We are to walk in the Spirit. And we are to walk and please God. So many ways we see this time and again through the Scripture. See, before we were saved, we lived what? To please ourselves and perhaps some others. Some, you know, maybe you're trying to please their parents or their employers or their husband or wife or whatever it might be. But we're always, before we're saved, especially, we're always living to please ourselves and frankly, much time after we're saved too, amen, if we're not careful and seeking the Lord. But Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. That's really what it's talking about, walking in him. That now it's no longer that I want to please myself or even another person above God. The first thing we ought to want to do as believers and are called to do is to live a life, what? That is pleasing to him. Pleasing to God. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's what we were made for, to be pleasing to God. And he wants us to yield to him in that way. So we think about, well, how do we walk in him? Well, he says it here. We'll learn a few things about that. He says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So we can look at how we receive Christ Jesus the Lord and learn something about how we are to walk in him. Well, think about it. How did you receive Christ? Well, you heard the gospel. So you learned the gospel from the Word of God, didn't you? You learn that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for the sins of the whole world, was buried, and rose again. You learned that from the gospel. You recognize from the gospel what? That sin is an offense against God, isn't it? You learn the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So you learned about the punishment for sin was death and hell. You learned as you got saved, you learned about the inability to save yourself by any good works. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Salvation, you learned, is offered what? As a free gift. As a free gift. You learned about the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God. And God's love for us, what? In sending Christ, John 3:16. You learned the promise of God, didn't you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you learned those promises. You learned all those things when you got saved. You learned. Your receiving Christ involved you learning. and see what does God say? Continue. You're going to walk with him. We got to continue learning, amen, and continue growing in him. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you learned. You know what else you did? You believed and received when you got saved, didn't you? You see, what happened when you heard all those things? You didn't just store them as facts that later on to spew out. Not if you got saved, you didn't. Those things worked on your heart when you heard those things. You were convicted of your sin. I was convicted of my sin. We were convicted of our hopelessness, of our hopeless eternity apart from receiving Christ as our Savior. We were convinced of Christ's love for us and that he alone had the authority to forgive us and to save us and to give us the gift of eternal life. These things all were working in us as we learned those things. As we learned those things. And what did we want to do when we learned those things? It worked on our heart, didn't it? We yearned for that salvation. You see, you learned, and then you yearned, didn't you? And by the way, that's how we ought to grow. We ought to learn God's word, where he wants us to be, what he wants us to do, what he wants us to say, and we ought to yearn for that change. Just as we yearned for salvation, that forgiveness, we ought to yearn for that change. That ought to continue, ought not to stop there. Then what else did you do? By faith, when we got saved, we claimed God's promises for salvation. You received the word of God, didn't reject it, and the truth about yourself. We received these truths about ourselves, about our sin, about God's Son, about his salvation. Then what happened? Yearning, we turned in our hearts, didn't we, in repentance, and called upon Jesus to forgive us and save us. That's what we each one of us did. And turning from our sin in our heart, the Bible says that the apostles preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn from our sin in general, knowing that we're sinners, living a sinful life, bound for hell. We turn from our sin, what? From our sin, from a love for our sin. See, people who reject Christ, what do? They don't turn from that. They hear the gospel, they say, but I don't want to leave. I don't want to turn from this yet. I like this better than that. That's really what you say when they say no to Christ. At that time, they haven't received it. They have chosen what? Their sin above Christ. John 3 talks about that. Talks about the condemnation. John 3:16 talks about those who believe. What happens? They receive Christ. They receive everlasting life. John 3 and following in the chapter there talks about what happened to those who rejected it. What happened? They loved darkness rather than light. They had a choice. Darkness was themselves. Light came. They rejected the gospel. They were among those in John 3 that condemned. And what was their condemnation? They loved darkness rather than light. At that time when they were shown the gospel, they chose their darkness. They loved that rather than the light. You see, they could have chosen the light just like you did and just like I did. They could have chosen to receive Christ as Savior just like you did, just like I did. But they didn't. What did they choose? I want to stay where I'm at. And so they didn't turn. But you turned when you received Christ. And you wanted those things. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. And look forward to heaven. Paul writes in Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, Jesus Christ is a Savior. He came to save us from our sins. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, when you got trusted Christ as your Savior, you got saved immediately from the penalty of your sin. And by the way, you got saved from the power of your sin. After you got saved, you don't have to sin anymore. There's a power available to you and I. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. And that's something that God wants to be continually saving us from, the temptations of sin, the habits of sin in our life. He wants to be continually delivering us from those things while we're here on this earth. And then one day, what? He's going to deliver us from from even the presence of sin. And he wants to deliver us in all those ways. So you learned, you yearned, and you turned. And that ought to continue in the Christian life as we seek him. We invited him into our house. We're going to deal with him every day, one way or another. He's here in your heart. I think about when they brought Jesus to, let's say, Pilate's house, so to speak. Pilate had to make a decision about what to do with him, didn't he? Matthew 27:21. What of these twain will I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And you know, every day you and I get up, we're going to make it. So what do I do with Jesus? He's here. He's in your house. He's in your heart. He's in your soul. May I say that having someone live in your heart is even closer quarters than having someone live in your house? And we have to decide, how are we going to relate to him? Are we going to listen to him? Will we despise him or take him lightly? Take this thing of salvation lightly? Are we going to listen to his voice? Are we going to let him lead in our life? Every day we have to make that decision. Every time we're conscious, we're relating this spirit with the spirit that he's put in us. And what an awesome thought that is. So walk ye in him. And walk ye in him. I thought about that phrase, in him, how powerful that is. Oh, the change that's wrought in your life and my life now that we're in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man what be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. Become new. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul realizing this for this church? Especially the newly saved. Wow, if they only knew. I mean, it's a whole new world now. You live in a sense in a new universe in your own world. If you know what I'm trying to say, you're a new creature. We're brand new, and we're called into a wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he was working us over before we got saved, wasn't he? But what did Jesus say? I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's in him, folks. That's where we're at. I think about John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. Listen to this. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? That sounds like a wonderful communion. That's what's in him, walking in him. In him. John 17:20, that blessed prayer of the Lord for us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and I. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Remember what Jesus said? While I am in the world, as long as I'm in the world, what? I am what? The light of the world? Who's the light of the world now? You and I are, aren't we? You and I are. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. What a fellowship we have. All with the triune Godhead and with the brethren. That's what walking in him is all about. And you know, as we get to know God, we realize that it's really him that's going to do the walking. We think of 2 Corinthians 6:16 and following. What agreement have the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. If God has said what? I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see,
just as we were helpless to save ourselves, and we learned that through the gospel and salvation, so are we helpless to walk apart from him. And just as he does all the saving, he does all the walking, doesn't he? We yield to him, we trust in him, we call upon his name. Calling upon God's name ought to be something we're doing a whole lot in our lives, because we need him. We need him. Walking with him. You know, as Christians, we're called to walk in the light of God's word by following the one who is the word incarnate. And he was the light of the world as he was here, and has called us to be the light of the world. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk what? As children of light. Children of light. I think about that, walking in the light. You know, the world, these things I'm talking about, they're distasteful to the world. 1 Corinthians talks about it. They don't understand the deeper things of Christ. They can understand the gospel. That's when that chapter says the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, it's talking about the deeper things in that context, that part of the context. The gospel they can understand. But if they don't receive the gospel, what? They're not going to understand this thing about dying to self, about learning, about the joy of serving the Lord. They're not going to understand these things that we talk about here. You know, about humble yourself, be exalted, give and it shall be given unto you. The world, they don't buy that. They can't understand that. But that's where the glory is, amen. That's where the joy is. Some people think that walking in the light for a Christian is like laying under the bright lights of some cold and sterile hospital room while some surgeon cuts you open to take out your appendix, you know. There's a sin in my life. It's against the rules. So since I'm a Christian, I got to get rid of it and get it out. It's nothing like that. It's a relationship, isn't it? By the way, it's a glorious relationship. Walking in him. That's the wrong picture of the light of the Word of God, and walking in that light. I'd rather picture it, that light, as that light that was seen on that cold beach that one morning, when the fire was there and it was kindling, and those cold, wet fishermen were out there on the boat. And there's that light. There's that fire on the beach. And it's the Lord. And he says, how you doing? Have you caught anything? And what'd they say? Nothing. You know, cast your nets and you'll find. And then they the nets were full. 153 fish they dragged in. They came into shore, though, and seems like they ran over to the fire first, because then Jesus goes to tell them, go bring up the fish which you've now caught. I like the pictures of that kind of light, that warm, glowing light. It's that light of fellowship, because now they're sitting around the fire, and they all know him. And the Bible says not one of them asked. They knew who he was. And what did he begin to say? Peter, lovest thou me? You see, they were out there wandering. They'd left the will of God. They got maybe tired of waiting. We don't know. Maybe the devil was tempting them. You guys are running out of money. You've been following this guy around for a long time, and of course your treasurer was a thief. So you've been living on nothing. By the way, a little bit while later, Peter shows up at the temple. What's he say? Silver and gold have I none. And maybe the devil's tempting them. You guys, you need to get some more money in the bank account. You better get back to fishing. And maybe that's just what they decided to do. Jesus calls them in there. But what's he do first? He fills the nets, doesn't he? They're empty because they missed their purpose. They left their purpose. It was to fish for men, wasn't it? They decided to go fishing for fish. And it wasn't a very good night. And they're cold and wet. But Jesus filled those nets. And it's kind of, pictures to me, it just speaks the message. Just like he said, listen, guys, I can give you that stuff anytime. Just like that. I can provide your needs when I deem you need it in my time. You don't have to worry about that. Let me tell you the business that we're going to talk about right now.
And they got back on track, didn't they? Matter of fact, they got back on track real well. We read that a little bit later, Peter goes on another fishing trip. But this one wasn't for fish. It was for men. 153 is how many fish they dragged in out of the sea. 3,000 is how many got saved in that Pentecostal meeting. And you know what? Peter still didn't have any money. And it didn't matter. See, because he knew what the true riches were, weren't they? And their hearts were filled. They were in the will of God. Praise the Lord. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. I think about that. Oh, how the disciples learned this. Oh, how they learned it. How they learned it. Remember when Jesus walked on the earth, and I'm finishing up here in just a minute. Remember he had the inner circle? Peter, James, and John. They had so many times alone with him. So he had Jesus, Peter, James, and John. You say, well, does he have an inner circle now? Yes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you. Or me. That's the only inner circle he has now. Any Christian can be as close to God as they want to be. And he has no respect for one over the other. He says, come near. Come near. What a blessing. That's what walking in him is. Walking in him. Oh, how the disciples learned what a glory that was. We know that by John's opening in 1 John chapter 1. And verse 3 and following. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And here it is. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? And these things write we unto you. You know what it says? That your joy may be full. You see, they said, because ours is. We learned that walking in the light is what fills us up with joy in this life. And now we're going to tell you, because we know it, we've experienced it, and we want you to experience the same thing. Our Savior called us close to him, and now he's calling each one of us just as close as they'd ever been to him, and to be walking in the light, and he'll fill our cups. He'll fill our cups with that joy. Isn't that a blessing? Walking in him and the fellowship that we have. Well, that just, as the Lord was showing me that when I was praying and preparing, I thought, God, what you provided, what a glory it is to have this fellowship with God and with the brethren. Well, you hear those voices going up, those prayers to God, just it's just a blessing to enjoy. Aren't you glad that God has put that love for spiritual things in your heart? And you do yearn for those things, and you want to learn about them, and you want to turn to those things. And that's what the Christian life is. Lost person can't understand that. Hopefully we get them the gospel, they'll get saved, amen? Then they'll be on the same road as you and I, and they can start to grow from there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, I thank you for the fellowship that we have in you. Father, to think that we could walk in you, be one with you, with your Son, with the Holy Spirit, with one another, all through this life, God. And you'll lead us away from sin that is harmful to us, that would deceive us and destroy the good in our lives, Father. You'll lead us away from that into the light. You'll teach us that true liberty indeed is found in serving you. The world can't understand that, Father, and in serving one another. And Father, we thank you for these revelations. We thank you for the change of heart that you give. We thank you for the love you've poured upon us, and that you have enabled us by your Spirit, Lord, and by your word to grow and to love you back and to love one another. Help us to ever be growing in these things, Father, we pray, and to be walking in the light of your word and in the love of this fellowship that you have provided for us through the blood of your Son, through his resurrection. Father, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.